Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Really, 007.
James Bond is coming back to the big screen in cinemas in the UK, and we're hoping to go to every one of the 25 films. Join us as we celebrate the 60th anniversary of our favourite British agents by watching them all in order. We hope you guys are watching them too, so please let us know your thoughts. You can find us on social media at Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and our podcast is available on iTunes and Spotify, as well as video episodes on YouTube. Simply search for Really 007 Pod. We didn't know it back in 2002, but the fourth Pierce Brosnan film would end up being his last. It's a controversial one that is probably being generous to say it divides opinion. It's Die Another Day.
Your freedom came at too high a price.
The mission was compromised. The same person who set me up then has just set me up again. So I'm going after him. Got your attention.
Tell me what you know of James Bond.
He'll light the fuse on any explosive situation.
Show me the diamonds.
Don't blow it all at once.
What happened to you?
Bond.
And be a danger to himself and others.
I'm going to let him mix things up a little.
My friends call me Jinx.
My friends call me James Bond.
Wow, now there's a mouthful.
Who sent you?
Your mama.
Glad you can make it, Mr. Bond.
I see you don't chase dreams, you live them.
One of the virtues of never sleeping, I have to live my dreams.
Time to draw the line.
Well, it seems you've become useful again.
Maybe it's time you let me get on with my job. So, this is where they keep the old relics, then, eh?
Twist, sir! Voila!
You know, you're cleverer than you look.
Better than looking cleverer than you are.
James, be careful.
A nice palace can be such a treacherous place.
I take it Mr. Bond's been explaining his Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, I think I got the thrust of it.
Must you touch everything?
Would you like to show me more?
Kill him.
Now! 1,000 meters and closing.
Put your back into it, eh? Let's get down to business.
Looks like we're going down together.
Not yet!
So we are here at the Trafford Centre to mark the end of Bond on the big screen with Die Another Day. I'm only joking.
Oh,
yeah,
that is safe.
So, for reference, I'm here with Math and Sam. And Sam, can you just tell us about your T-shirt that you're wearing?
So, for anyone who knows Dynasty, I've actually had a conversation with David, licensed queer, say about Dynasty, funnily enough. I'm wearing a T-shirt of Dominique Devereaux, an illustration of her holding a champagne glass. Diane Carroll could have absolutely been one. She was fantastic. But anyway, and the word shade written at the top.
and I'm wearing it because I'm probably going to be very shady towards Dino the Day. I'm so sorry, Evan, but I just can't, you know.
And Lorenzo,
yeah. But I think I've done really well.
You've been very positive.
I think I have. There's only so, your imagination can only stretch so far, can't it? So.
You were positive about Thunderball, you know, another one that you haven't, you know.
But I mean, every other film before this is a better film.
Yeah, well, you can't. I don't think you can argue that.
Yeah, so I mean, you know.
But it's better than everyone that's after. I'm only joking.
It's better than Quantum, I will say that.
Do you reckon? So is that your least favourite then?
Yeah, it's Quantum at the very bottom and then Dino the Day. And those two are the only ones where I'm like, I will happily not watch them. I will watch it.
It's just as well coming after World Is Not Enough, maybe, that I think at the time it was World Is Not Enough was getting a bit more daring for me. And then Dino the Day, it's like, oh, you know, let's do even more Bond tortured and. And then it got even sillier. So you were like, "Where's it going
to
end?"
I think I said last time to Matt, like it kind of like feel like the Brosnan era's kind of felt pretty classic and pretty like doing it, but updating it and doing it in a really good way and blending it and balancing it out really well. Whereas this, I feel like it just goes right off the deep end. It drops right over that ice cliff, right onto a tsunami. I mean, it just to me, it just goes way beyond.
But can you? I don't know. Can you take those things out and just enjoy it anyway, do you think? Well, we'll see, won't we?
I mean, there's definitely fun things in this film. Yeah. Like, of course. Yeah, there always is, but I feel like they're overshadowed by, you know, just some issues.
Mm. Well, you know, Math, it's one that you've defended a bit more than the average Bond fan, I think.
Yeah, probably. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm very much aware of and, you know, of the flaws and have serious problems with a lot of it, not just the CGI but some of the dialogue. You know, Jinx, I think it's not great.
She has some clunkers,
yeah, and just the way Halle Berry portrays the character, which, you know, is not just, I mean, she's a really good actress, so the direction has to come under some scrutiny. But I don't know, for this one, I'm able to put that to one side to an extent and just sort of, because I know what's coming, I can enjoy it. And obviously, it's you know, even though I don't like doing lists, it is probably down there. But I think there's loads of things you can appreciate and just sort of, I don't know, I just try and leave my brain at the door, just go and enjoy it. I know, you know, and I know the problems that we're going to encounter, but I just have to deal with them. And also, you know, it's the end of an era. It's the end of it's the end of Pierce, of course, and what a great contribution. But also, you know, Colin Salmon, Samantha Bond, John Cleese. Oh. You know,
is Michael Gibson in this one?
No, he's not.
No,
he's not. I think. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. You know. Oh, also, the Moonraker book, it is somewhat of an adaptation of that. So it sticks very closely to the Fleming.
Well, a good true.
Just for me, and this is the final Eon Bond film for me to see on the cinema, and then once I've seen this...
Is that it? Like, you've done the collection, amazing.
Yeah. Have you?
Because my first one was Casino. So.
Yeah.
Think about that. Sam, the youngest Bond fan who's been on these screenings, I think, has now seen them all, and that's incredible. It's amazing, we've seen people like Bob Foster said that Man with the Golden Gun was the first one he saw.
Yeah.
So when he'd got up to, you know, Diamonds Are Forever, right, I've done them all. I mean, absolutely amazing. Anyway, right, we will head into the theatre, as Dad would say, and enjoy Dino the Day. My word.
Hello, this is Gary Kay at the Odeon Cinema in Bath, just about to go in to watch Dino the Day on the big screen for the first time since its 2002 release 20 years ago. My goodness, can't believe it's gone by so quickly. I think we all know what we're letting ourselves in for with this one. I remember watching it back in on its original release, not being able to get into the cinema on a couple of occasions because the screenings are sold out, so my expectations were quite high going in and considerably different leaving. So currently, this film is my least favourite of the James Bond films. However, rewatching it earlier this year for the first time in several years, I did come to enjoy several aspects of it. There's some very entertaining moments. And, of course, we've got another David Arnold score to enjoy. So catch up with you after the film and see if it moves up in my rankings after watching it on the big screen again. All the best.
So,
I'm being traded. For you.
Keep moving. Keep walking, please.
Your time will come.
Not as soon as yours.
Look at him. You'd think he was some kind of a hero.
Trevor Baxendale, just out from seeing Die Another Day on the big screen. You know, this film gets a lot of flack and it does make some pretty serious errors in terms of a Bond film. But I can't help but like it. It's just got such a good atmosphere to it all the way through. And in amongst all the CGI business in this second half, you know, there are so many gems in this. Diamonds, if you will, conflict diamonds, hidden all the way through it. So many good characters. Everybody's having so much fun, and it's impossible not to get carried along and enjoy the ride. That's the best experience I've had watching Die Another Day, without a doubt. And it really did help seeing it on the big screen. And I feel that having seen all four of Brosnan's Bonds now, I finally feel like I've left Die Another Day feeling good and happy and content with the time he had as Bond. We all know what happened after that. We all know he should have and could have done another one. But, you know, Die Another Day, biggest grossing Bond film of all time at the time. It's good fun.
Hello everybody, this is Dom once again, giving my thoughts on Die Another Day. Unfortunately, I did not get to watch this at the cinema. However, it was on ITV on television on Saturday night. So I'm going to get this out of the way first. I know it's not a good film in any way, shape or form. However, it was the first film I saw, James Bond film, that I saw at the cinema back when I was 8 years old. My dad took me and my brother to the Science Museum in London at the time, and we had these James Bond cards and we put them in these machines and had all data and information. I think they had all the cars there and lots of James Bond memorabilia basically. So at the time I was very prepared for it and very pumped up and very enthusiastic for it. So I guess is why I like this one and not as much as the others, but at the time it was very exciting. So basically the introduction of this film, it sets off quite, it goes quite all right. Bond surfing into North Korea, into the demilitarized zone, I think. Replacing identities with Van Bierk, having the suitcase full of diamonds, and then going off to meet Colonel Moon, and I guess he's on some sort of mission, but anyway, the hovercraft scene and the explosion and stuff is quite good, and then sending off Moon to his death, and then we get a first of the series, Bond being captured. He's not been captured before, or taken by a country, I suppose. So the song Madonna, obviously it's not a great song, but the Dirty Vegas remix is pretty good. I often find myself listening to that at times. I have to say in this one that Pierce Brosnan does look a bit older than when he first started. However, I feel his hairstyle and stuff, it kind of looks quite iconic now. I think it looks pretty good. It's a shame that Pierce Brosnan didn't get to evolve more into James Bond after this one. I suppose he'd been in it for a while, but I mean, at the time he was in Everything or Nothing video game and done Nightfire, and I suppose Agent Underfire was going to have his appearance, but they didn't quite have it. They couldn't get it, but you know, he was still in the role, and before they decided to redo all the series, apparently he was on the commentary of the film, I guess, talking about how he was going to make it better in future ones. So it's a shame of what could have been, to be honest, in my opinion. I know, obviously, it got very bad reviews and hence why they didn't go along with it. But just to think, if he'd had one more film after this shit show, then he could have done, it could have been, you know, we'll never know, will we? So I'll move it on now. So he moves out of the North Korean prison, comes out, goes after Zhao again. That stuff in the clinic, it's all right. I mean, obviously it's a very stupid idea and none of this is exactly realistic, is it? Let's be honest. But for the purposes of the film, that bit chasing after Zhao, it's all right. I know Jinx falls off the huge cliff, and obviously her walking out the sea and stuff is not brilliant. I'm going to get to Jinx later on, to be honest. I'll move it on now to London. Obviously, the sword scene is a bit stupid. Why would they do that? I guess Graves is just basically Moon, but evolved. I mean, it's stupid, but what the hell? London, meeting M, what have you got on Graves? You burnt me, and now you want my help. Just, I know he's just working, isn't he? So obviously he's not going to leave, because he's loyal to the Force. He's MI6's loyal terrier. So, yeah, I mean, for me, at the time, the thing that did it for me for this film was definitely the Aston Martin. I had the Corgi model and the Jaguar model, that car chase on the ice. I used to love that as a kid. It was brilliant. I think they still look quite good now, but just, it would be silly to have an invisible car, wouldn't it? Let's be honest, there's no getting around it. Even before the car chase scene, the surfing scene, for crying out loud, it's just, how on earth did anyone find that acceptable to be in the Bond film? I have no idea. I like the music, don't get me wrong. The score of this film, it's okay. I obviously prefer Tomorrow Never Dies to this one, but I suppose that was brilliant. And I guess it just moves on and it just tries to go with the times. So, but the directing in this film, I don't know what Tam Hori was thinking. I have no idea what sort of films he's done in the past, but the slow motion stuff, and it doesn't look very good, does it, in places? It's just, yeah. Jinx, I could see what they're trying to do. They're coming up the sea like Ursula Andress, the very first film, and there's touches to all the other films in this one, a bit like Spectre, but probably not done as well. But yeah, Jinx, just, I know she's a bit of a damsel in distress when she gets captured, but trying to make her stand up to Bond and be as good as Bond. And apparently the promo in this film, she was as famous as Pierce Brosnan, and she could have had a spin-off, and I'm not sure how that would have turned out, to be honest. I don't think it would have been very good. But then again, however long since No Time to Die, and people say Paloma should have her own spin-off, so I guess it's only fair. Rosamund Pike as Agent Frost. Yeah, she's a pretty good character, isn't she? She's very feisty, undercover for MI6, but actually working for Graves. I feel their performance is pretty good in this one. Got to talk about Zhao. I mean, at the beginning, it was Moon's henchman, and then the diamonds go in his face, trying to get him a sort of iconic look. It's a bit silly, isn't it? The briefcase explodes and that. Surely they would just have to get them all out or something, but yeah, Bond mucking up his evolving in the face lab, whatever, and then he gets that look. It's not, it's not very good, is it? Let's be honest. However, I have to say, I don't know if you listen to this podcast, Kriegler007 on Twitter, but that Only Fools and Horses sketch you put on there the other day, fuck me, that was so funny. Just watch it, Dale. The chandelier, you know, the one? Yeah, cool. Graves, yeah, I don't really have a lot of time for him. Obviously, it's Moon, isn't it? But how on earth would he just have come out of the blue as this millionaire who's only just in these magazines and whatnot? Surely there must be a backstory. It's very silly, isn't it? And I don't find him very memorable at all. What's his scheme? Oh, he wants to unite North Korea, doesn't he? South Korea, North Korea, with that stupid sun thing. Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's probably better than Safin's idea, but anything's better than that, isn't it? Let's be honest. Mr. Kill, I'm Mr. Kill. Well, that's the name to die for is a pretty good line, isn't it, from Bond. The score is quite funny to hear that. Mr. Kill, no, I've just talked about Mr. Kill, haven't I? The score, I mean, I do enjoy the score when he arrives in Cuba and then he gets in that old car, and the music before he goes off the cliff and then the surfing. I'm ashamed to say I quite like that bit of music. And just sort of the dun, 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 dun. And that's very bad, isn't it? But, you know, that anticipation sort of thing, I think that's all right. And the arriving at the, where Moon's got all his cars at the beginning, that sort of stuff, I think that's quite good for Arnold. The Loud American, Michael Madsen, Falco, not really got a lot of time for this character, to be honest. But just, he's there, isn't he? And he's loud and brash. However, I don't really like it when he says, Bond escapes off the ship and then he says to him, M, he's like, keep your people in order or we're going to shut it down for you or something like that. I don't know why he has to take control like that. Bond on the boat, his heart rate, stopping his own heart rate. It's very silly, isn't it? And then just being filmed in the Hong Kong hotel room. It's not great, to be honest. Well, that's probably going to wrap it up for now. I mean, I didn't have any expectations, and I put all my thoughts to the back of my mind during this watching, so I won't be disappointed. But it was a good watch, and I mean, compared to No Time to Die, anything's better. I mean, I have to be honest, 20 years later of this film, it's very harsh to say it'd be down the bottom, but then again, what else would be down there? I mean, my list changes all the times. I'm not saying it's gone up in my estimation or down. It's just there, isn't it? I've watched it now, and I probably won't watch it for a long time now. Well, I've probably been rambling on for to God knows too long, but that's my thoughts of Dying of the Day.
Hi guys, Tom Donnelly here, Tom James on Twitter, with my musings on Dying of the Day. Now, first and foremost, being honest, it, like many people, I think Dying of the Day is contentious and is one that generally has been towards the bottom of my rankings continually. I hadn't watched the film for some time, actually, up until going to see it with my friend and co-conspirator John Cowell Saturday. And actually, for the majority of the film, I forgot just how good the actual premise of the story and how enjoyable a romp it is. I really love the Havana scenes, and I think, you know, that the whole setup of the film and that first kind of two-thirds of the film are really enjoyable. It starts to fall down for me when we get to Iceland. However, there are some good parts in that, especially like the Aston and the Jaguar chase on the ice. That's particularly good. There is a lot of action in this film, which is really enjoyable. The CGI, I know, is very much a detractor, and for some reason, watching it on the big screen, a lot of the parts of that didn't really seem to have held up very well over the last 20 years. But then again, you know, that whole thing about the CGI, yes, it dates it and it's a bit OTT, but it doesn't put you off. You know, the backward projection from the you know, the 60s movies especially, I'm thinking specifically about You Only Live Twice, doesn't put you off watching that film, so I don't think it should really detract too much here. I just think, you know, it just gets a bit too ludicrous towards the end in terms of the action. The whole vanishing Aston Martin is ridiculous, but, you know, back in 1977, the idea of a Lotus turning into a submarine is a bit farcical, but we all love that, don't we? So I do think it, yes, it is ridiculous, but you kind of come to expect that with Bond films, and I think that is why, you know, as a reaction to the over-the-topness of Dying of the Day, that's why, unfortunately, it was Pierce's swan song, and they went a different route with Daniel Craig. Overall, Dying of the Day has probably climbed up a bit in my thoughts, because I actually really enjoyed it. The theme song's rubbish. It's definitely ranked at the bottom of the Bond themes for me. I don't particularly enjoy Madonna's cameo, but that fencing scene is actually quite enjoyable. Rosamund Pike is fantastic in her role. She's also gorgeous, so that always helps. And, you know, David Arnold's score for the film is very good. You know, a lot. What we possibly forget about Dying of the Day is that it was an anniversary movie. It was 40 years of Bond movies when it came out in 2002. So there are a lot of callbacks to the earlier films. Some very obvious, Jinx coming out of the water in the orange bikini, obviously. Some less obvious but enjoyable. And as I said, I'd probably not watched Dying of the Day for a good decade before seeing it on the big screen. So maybe that's why I enjoyed it more than I probably would have done. Sad to see the back of Pierce, to be honest, because, you know, he was really in full flow at this film. It could have been interesting to see if he'd had more of an era akin to Roger, but, you know, there we are. Really enjoyed it, as I say, better than I thought I would. That's the end of Pierce's tenure, and now we go into the Daniel Craig era, the story arc, and coming to one of the best, if definitely one of the top tier Bond films in Casino Royale next. Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
This is a tale of the supernatural.
The Tapes, a podcast of the uncanny.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Join me, host Christopher Goldie, and guests as we discuss the best in unsettling television and film.
Who is this?
is coming.
Find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Search for at The Tapes Pod. Part of the Pod Dojo Network.
Die Another Day.
My guilty pleasure Bond movie. I was,
yes.
My favorite. Well, I would say this about this movie. I grow my appreciation for that movie because I appreciate what the movie is. It's fun entertainment. It's a fun ride of a movie. I always tell people when they get to, when Bond goes to Iceland, when the movie goes over the top, I'm on board with the direction it goes with. It's so over the top fun. I mean, you got space lasers. You got Bond jumping on a kite surfing sequence. I love that sequence. And it's a lot of over the top stuff in that film. It's fun. It's fun. That's what they're telling you. Even Lee Tomahori said in interviews that he did not make the best Bond movie. He made an entertaining and a fun movie. Yeah. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, because not every film was going to be like that. They were never going to do another Pierce Brosnan like that. They would have made it more serious, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I appreciate it being a mix-up that is serious in the first half and the second half is over the top. It's kind of like Moonbreaker. I call Die Another Day the Moonbreaker.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Moonbreaker of his time.
That's true. And the plot is actually quite similar and to the book as well.
Oh, yeah, they do follow the book and stuff. I heard a lot of people say they follow the book very well.
Yeah.
I like the Madonna Die Another Day thing. That's one of my favorite things.
Exactly.
I love it. I think it's a fun thing. And I love her cameo as Bertie. I love that. Yeah. And Gustav Graves, he's an over-the-top, campy villain. You could just tell the performance. He's hamming it up. I love it.
Yeah. Those are your favorite villains then? Yeah.
Oh, and I love his RoboCop suit at the end. It's so silly.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, when I first seen it, that did turn me out. The movie, like, why are you wearing that?
Yeah.
But over the years, I've grown to appreciate that suit he wears.
It's so funny now, isn't it?
It's so funny, but I love it. I kind of respect it.
It's an epic death as well, isn't it?
Oh, it's a great. I know it's a homage to Goldfinger. Goldfinger sucked out the plane, but it's kind of homage to that. But different to that, Gustav Gray go to the engine of the plane. Time to face gravity.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And what do you think of Halle Berry? What do you think of
underrated her performance, in my opinion. I always say this, her direction, it's the dialogue they give her, but she does a great job with the performance. And I'm glad this is an interview I watched with her. She looked back at this movie as fun. She enjoyed her time being a Bond girl. She don't look back at this as no negativity. She looked back at this was the fun in her career. She appreciate working with Brosnan. Did not know Broden saved her life in the love scene.
Yeah.
I did not even know
that. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, he saved her life.
they look like they get on really well, don't they?
Yeah, they got underrated chemistry, and you can tell they enjoy working together. I love Rosamund Pike as Miranda Frost. I think she's a great Finn Batal villain. I mean, I knew she was going to be the villain because obvious reasons.
Yeah. Did you guess that then? You saw that coming, yeah?
She was very suspicious when I saw her. I said, she's very suspicious.
She's great though, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
She's a really good actor.
Great performance. I can't believe that was her first film. I said, wow, that was your first film. Wow.
Amazing.
Great performance.
I liked her in Johnny English as well.
Oh, yes. The second film. She's great in Johnny English. That's a great parody of James Bond.
It's a great Bond film.
It's a great parody of the series. I love the Johnny English movies.
Yeah.
They pay great homage to Bond.
Well, we love Rowan Atkinson.
Oh, he's great. He's great.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's in Never Say Never Again.
Yes, there's Nigel Smallbuck.
Yeah. Well remembered, yeah. Who else is there in the film? I'm trying to think now.
Michael Madsen.
Michael Madsen,
and Damien Falco. He's a great character. I appreciate they do a great job paying homages to the movies Bond, paying homages to it. I think they've done a great job. I think the Q scene is very entertaining. John Cleese and Pierce Brosnan got great chemistry. I would love to see the movie would continue.
Yeah.
I know it's in the video game. They spending on it on Everything or Nothing, but they kind of remind me of the Desmond. Yeah, he did the voice for that game. He kind of did the voice for The World's Not Enough on the PlayStation and the N64. He did 007 Racing. Yes, John Cleese and Brosnan got underrated chemistry, and I like them working. I like them working together. Over that line, he said that. If it's your session, Q, wish I could make you vanish.
Yeah.
And I love the invisible car. I'm going to keep praising this to forever. I think the invisible car, one of the most coolest gadgets in the series. I love it. I think it's pretty cool. I love that you get to play it in a video game, everything or nothing. I love the invisible car.
Yeah.
I wish it would have been used a lot more.
Well, if you see the film The Invisible Man, the new film, that is essentially the same technology used. So it could happen now. So it's not as unrealistic as people say.
I think it's underrated technology is a visible car. Yeah. I mean, if you watch a Bond movie, you know you're going to get.
Brilliant. It's the last Pierce Brosnan film, isn't it? So it's a bit of a shame that it was his last one. We would have liked him to stay
I'm very emotional about it. That was his last. I did not expect him to leave the franchise at the time because we didn't have no news thing back in the day to tell us what happened. You got to find information on TV.
Yeah.
I was very heartbroken when he was fired from the role.
Well, he's the only one because I thought been let go.
Yes, and that's just sad because the guy really enjoyed playing Bond.
Well, yeah,
he really did.
He loved it, didn't he? And he was. Every time you saw him, you were like, that's James Bond. That's my James Bond. And you still do.
When
you think of him, that's Bond. When you still
know. Oh, yeah, when you think of him, you see him, you know, his likeness in the video games over the years, you know. You got to go attachment toward the guy because he was Bond at the time.
Well, we'll leave it there, Lorenzo. But after Dine of the Day, of course, we'll get to the Daniel Craig era back on the cinemas in the UK. So it's a very different take. You don't mind Casino Royale, do you? You quite like that one.
I like that film. It took me over the years to grow. That movie took a long time to grow on me because of the direction of it. But I like Casino Royale. I appreciate the direction of the series.
Well, we'll just have to see where the next direction of the series goes because it's in a bit of a weird state at the moment. And I know Lorenzo
would
like an announcement for a new Bond so we could get behind them. Get on with it, really.
Yes, I do want to see another adventure, but I don't know if we're going to ever get that. We got, 2025.
Oh, no. It probably will be, though, won't it? At least then. Oh.
Hey, everyone. This is Russell Harnden III. I'm the editor on the 4 Pierce Brosnan Bond movies, and welcome to Really 007.
Hey, folks. How's it going? I hope you're well. So, I went to watch Die Another Day. It was yesterday, Sunday, at the Odeon in Manchester. Which has definitely become the main place I'm choosing to watch these films each week. Always good fun. I've been looking forward to this, actually. It is a film that I've seen least out of all the Bond films. I must have only, I think, seen it 5 or 6 times in the 20 years, which, trust me, is a lot less than the other ones for me. The first 30 minutes of this film, I think, is superb. I do love all the spy stuff, you know, in terms of the face-off between Bond and M, where she basically explains its policy to forget spies once they get captured. You know, she kind of pulls him up on the giving away the info and all that kind of stuff, but he says, no, you know, I didn't know what I was saying and all that kind of thing. So that's cool. I love that bit. You know, we need a lot more of that stuff. It does make me think of the silver thing that she does in Skyfall. Leave silver out there, you know, to get tortured and all that kind of stuff. But the song's not bad. I do like Madonna. You know, she's obviously a talented person. And she's always doing these different styles over time and just inventing herself again. It's just a shame we didn't get to hear do a big ballad, you know, something like Live to Tell, which is one of her best songs. Just something like that, just a good big power ballad. But I know we've had a lot of those in Bond. So it's good to hear something different. I just feel that the song doesn't particularly go anywhere. It's just kind of, it's got some cool bits in it. But I mean, if you heard that song in a nightclub and like a neon lit nightclub, you know, and it'd sound good, you know, I think, yeah, this is good, this is cool. It's not bad, it's pretty decent, actually. I think Jinx is good. I've always liked Hallie, you know, she's lovely, and I just don't get the hate that she gets in this film. Don't think the dialogue is delivered particularly badly that people seem to say. You know, she's just working with what's there on the page and putting her own stamp on it. And I'd love to hear exactly what people have got against this part of Jinx. I mean, I just don't get the only thing I can think maybe is that she's always playing quite nice people in films, and having her play a badass when she's so kind of cute and then nice is, I guess, why part of it. I don't know, who knows. But obviously the spin-off wouldn't have been a good idea. Just not, I don't think many would have been into that at all, the spin-off thing they were going to do. The only main bit of this film that I zoned out on, despite it being the bottom of my chart, that, you know, I wasn't sat there completely bored and fed up with this film at all, by a long way, you know. The only bit I zone out on, as always, is all the Iceland stuff. And there's a couple of little bits that are quite good, you know, but that bit, I can't wait for that to be done. I just get so bored. And when they're using the giant laser thing to attack the palace thing, you know, it just looks like a bloody cartoon, you know. It's just, what is going on there? And the tsunami surfing thing, I mean, It looks a little bit dodgy when the sled model thing goes over the cliff and he just looks like a little model kind of hanging off there. And you think, yeah, just stop it there. You know, just have him hanging off and climb back up maybe. But who thought that wave surfing thing was a good idea? And as soon as they saw, you know, that bit, you know, before they put the film out, who didn't think, God, this is awful, we can't do this bit. Anyway, enough negativity on that bit. I think I've said enough about that bit, and it makes me laugh anyway. But yeah, it's kind of, it does make you think they got a bit upset about Mike Myers with Austin Powers spoofing Bond, and they seem to use that as an ideas for the film, you know. It's, oh, let's just take it over the top then, and, you know, make this diamond thing into a giant laser, you know. Why don't we have Dr. Evil in it as well? Why are you going about it, you know? But I am glad it picks up in the third act. I must admit, I kind of forgot what happens in the third act, so it felt a bit newish to me, you know, going into the bit with Bond and Jinx going in. It's obviously big stakes going on. You know, the Yanks are getting upset there about, is he going to go past the DMZ with this flame thing and all that kind of stuff. So it does feel big stakes at the end, and it's good to see those two working together and going into the base. That kind of stuff's always good. Speaking of going in, there's a Carry On fan. There is a lot of sexual innuendos in this film, and I'm sure a lot of people were just going, oh God, you know, when they heard some of these, but I thought they were good and funny. And, you know, it's a big part of Bond, all that kind of stuff with the funny lines. Yeah, there's lots of that through the film. I do love the Q-bits in this film, actually. I mentioned about the last one that John Cleese, they could have kept him out of The World Is Not Enough and it would have still been fine. But I do like his lines in this, and I love all the hidden tube station stuff. Love things like that. That's ace. And seeing some of the gadgets, obviously paying lip service to old Bond films. That's good. It's good how he uses the little mini tank thing, you know, in the water for air. You know, that's good when he's swimming up to the main bit. That's cool. But yeah, Jinx versus Frost is cool, especially when she gives it the bitch, you know, when she stabs her with the thing with the book, you know. That's good. I'd forgotten all about that, and I thought, yeah, she pulled that off well. Hallie, that was good. I did totally forget about the money penny using the VR glasses thing to get it on with James. That's so funny, and Samantha Bond just played that so well. And I think it's quite telling. I've got near the end of these comments without mentioning the baddies in this. Yeah, Toby Stevens is, you know, a decent actor, and he does the smarm well. He's obviously coming from a well-known acting family, and if anybody knows who his family members are, there's a line of actors there, which is cool. But yeah, I think, again, with this film, it does suffer from too many hench people and bad guys and stuff. I mean, what's going on with the weird blonde hair guy that looks like he was in Notting Hill, you know? There's something the matter with this yoghurt. It's kind of just, it's a bit like Elvis, isn't it? He's just crap. Yeah, it's still there, so yeah, a bit of negativity there this week on this one. But I did enjoy a good few chunks of this film, and yeah, it's well over the top. And I think for people that love all the sort of franchise stuff, I can see why people like it, actually. But for me personally, it's just a long way off all the kind of Fleming stuff, all the spycraft and all that kind of thing. There's a bit of it in this, as I say at the start, but not much. But yeah, oh, James Bond films are pizzas, David and Calvin say, so this is one with just a lot of weird toppings that it's a bit burnt, you know. I absolutely can't wait for next week to see my top James Bond film next Sunday. Looking forward to that so much. I've seen that in London this year. Took Jane to it, and yeah, can't wait for that one. But yeah, thanks for listening. See you later. Check me out on Twitter. My handle on Twitter is The Northerner Who Loved Me. And if you love Bond films and you're on Twitter, just get yourself on there. Get talking about these lovely films. But yeah, take care of yourself. See you later. Bye-bye.
Hi, Patch again. Unlike the last three Brosnan films, I re-watched Dine of the Day at home rather than seeing it at the cinema. This is a film I'm not very keen on, and haven't been so for quite some time. However, on this occasion, I think I would be beating a dead horse trying to describe why it didn't really work for me, so instead, I thought I might continue the positive tone of my previous audio reviews by talking about what I do like about this film. After all, I'm of the firm opinion that the James Bond film franchise is overall a very good one, meaning that there's always something positive you can salvage from any of the films, even if you don't like a few of them as a package. So I first feel I should compliment the brilliant villainess that is Rosamund Pike's Miranda Frost. Now, there's been a number of enjoyable female henchwomen in the series, and there's generally been something interesting to differentiate each of them, and Frost is no exception. Making her a skilled fencer is just a fun idea and a good reason for her to have a sword fight with Jinx at the end. Rosamund Pike incredibly manages to give this character a certain amount of class, which works, since the film initially sets her up like she's going to be yet another agent who's going to try and one-up Bond. Of course, That's what Jinx's role in the story is supposed to be. So instead, Purvis and Wade decide to reveal that Frost is the informant who betrayed Bond in North Korea. A rather neat twist, and one that allows Rosamund Pike to have a lot of fun in her role, just as Luciana Paluzzi really enjoyed playing a villainess in Thunderball. Pierce Brosnan is also on fine form in his final film as Bond. He doesn't necessarily do that much stuff that's special compared to his previous films, but in the early parts of the film where he's dealing with dramatic stuff, his performance is surprisingly well judged. That aside, it's largely business as usual for Brosnan. He does everything you'd expect from him, and there's no doubt that he certainly had another film in him. My rewatch also allowed me to appreciate the henchman of Zhao, because you know what? He's not bad at all. When you take away the gene therapy changing his appearance slightly and the diamonds still being embedded in his face, Zhao works mainly because of how Rick Hume plays him. I find his performance to be fairly muted and stoic, which does give him a degree of menace. Plus, I like the fact he actually has his own gadget-laden car to go up against Bond Vanquish in the car chase on ice. Speaking of which, that's one particular standout sequence I always enjoy. Whenever you have Vic Armstrong's second unit action in this film, they tend to feel a little more Bondian than the first unit action directed by Lee Tamahori. And who can forget that lovely little moment where Bond uses the ejector seat to flip his car over? Yeah, it's probably unrealistic, yet it remains in the fun vein of fantastical moments in films such as Moonraker, so I honestly don't mind it. Something I also generally hear as a positive for this film is the pre-credits sequence. For the most part, I found myself rather engaged with it. Whatever I might say about missed potential and such, there are some brilliant ideas set up here. Having Bond infiltrate North Korea and basically fail at the last moment of his mission by getting captured is still an excitingly innovative concept. And Will Yun Lee's Colonel Moon comes across as a slightly different but fun type of villain. He's clearly younger than Bond, but with his martial arts skills and hot-headedness, I think he would have been a fantastic threat for Bond to face in the rest of the film. Alas, he instead becomes Toby Stevens' Gustav Graves. And the hovercraft chase may feel a little standard for some, but since most of it is done practically rather than relying on green screen and CGI, it comes across as one of the more successful action set pieces. As is the sword fight, which is a refreshing spin on the traditional scenario of Bond playing a game against the villain during their initial meeting. Both Brosnan and Toby Stevens give it their all here, and the end result is frantic but not too crazy. Most of the other parts of the film that work for me tend to be ones directly following on from what was set up in the pre-credit sequence. So, Bond going rogue is a trope that has been done to death by now, though at this point it might have still had some steam in it. The prisoner exchange sequence feels triumphant enough that the way in which Bond's confrontation with M aboard the ship is played, it feels genuinely impactful. The score particularly helps with these moments. And one of the more intriguing elements of the first quarter of Die Another Day is Bond's brief encounter with Mr. Chang in Hong Kong. That little reference to Bond's former Cold War days with him mentioning that he's got no intention of taking Hong Kong back from the Chinese is a nice touch. And it's the sort of thing I wonder why the filmmakers didn't explore further. Also, am I interpreting it wrong? Or is Bond effectively working for the Chinese government in some fashion because of this? I mean, the kit, including a passport that Mr. Chang gives him, is apparently a present from Beijing. And I doubt they informed MI6 about Bond getting in touch with Mr. Chang. Bond's license to kill has been rescinded, after all. It's a curious element that's never brought up again, but I thought it was worth mentioning anyway. And then there's Cuba, which I have to admit is a suitably picturesque location for a Bond film. I think it would have been a pretty ideal location to set more of the filming, and utilising the ally Raoul further would have been great too, because this character is wonderfully charismatic, and has a touch of Karen Bay or Columbo about him. Just the way he talks about how life is different for him after the revolution makes me wish he had a more pivotal role in the film. Finally, what about David Arnold's score? Well, to put it simply, it's absolutely brilliant. Definitely my personal favourite out of all of Arnold's scores. There's just something about it that feels even closer to classic Bond scores than the scores of the previous films, likely because Die Another Day was supposed to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the series. There's even a cue in the track Kiss of Life which includes the electronic sound effects which were used at the beginning of Dr. No's gun barrel. It's a subtle reference, but it somehow suits the scene. As for my personal highlights of the whole soundtrack, I would personally recommend the tracks Hovercraft Chase, Cuba and Cuban Car, Bond Gets the Key in Virtual Reality, Iced Incorporated, and finally, Gustav Graves' Gravitational Exit. So there we have everything I like about Die Another Day. Like I said at the start, this is hardly my favourite film in the series. In fact, it's probably my least favourite of the Eon-produced films. But if there's anything I can take away from it, is that in many ways there are tons of ingredients that could have made for an excellent 40th anniversary film. What we got in the end may not have been the film that Brosnan deserved to go out with. It doesn't spoil my appetite so much and I wouldn't have wanted another Brosnan film. On the contrary, I would have been very glad to have seen Brosnan do a fifth film, perhaps one with a similar tone to GoldenEye. Then he could gracefully hand over to the next fella. Nonetheless, I've overall had a good time revisiting the Brosnan era. I perhaps underappreciated it a little too much recently, and The World Is Not Enough in particular has certainly been improved for me. It's a fairly solid era that introduced a new generation of fans to James Bond, which is a great achievement indeed. But next time, we'll head back to the beginning of the most recent actor's tenure, with Daniel Craig in Casino Royale. Till then!
Bob Foster and Kieran Richard gave us their thoughts on Die Another Day, having seen it at the cinema.
So, good evening, folks. We've just exited the cinema for the 20th time.
Yes, at Derby Odeon.
Derby Odeon, seeing Die Another Day, and then there were two. It's literally like Genesis, getting smaller in numbers each time. Yes. That joke's very old now. But anyway, yes, we've just finished Die Another Day. Esteemed colleague Bob Foster and myself, Kieran Richard. What do you think, Bob?
Even you're saying it now.
I know, exactly.
I did enjoy it, but I knew that there were going to be the hurdles to get over. Yeah. I do enjoy the pre-titles. It's good. It's fast. It's good paced action. There's the hovercraft chase is very good. Mm. I've always got issues with Colonel Moon, a small Korean changing into Toby Stevens, who's about 6 inches taller, and the obvious CGI, in particular the surfing, that just looks so out of place and so amateur. Mm-hmm. And thinking about that, looking at it through the film, a lot of the CGI did look very thrown together.
Mm.
A lot of it, but yeah, Pierce is, I won't say he was bored with the role, because I think he was assuming he was going to do another one anyway, but it was like playing it by numbers.
He was. The problem is he could only work with what he had.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's not, at least he didn't have control over the script like Mr. Craig did in the end.
Well, that's how it should be, personally.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, I did enjoy it, the title song. I've always had a gripe about... I've always wanted Bond to be captured and be able to escape without any gadgets, and they got so far. Mm. When I saw the first shots of Brosnan with a full beard, long hair, I thought, yeah, they're going to do it this time. And all they did was exchange him. Yeah. They just let him out.
It's a slight anticlimax, isn't
it? I must admit, the invisible car didn't bother me so much this time at all. Because you can actually see it in quite a lot of the film. Mm. Especially the ice chase. That's very good, that is.
Mm.
With Zhao's jag. Yeah, I enjoyed it. How about you?
No, to be fair, do you know what? This film gets a hell of a lot of bad press, and don't get me wrong, I can see why, especially when you go from three, personally, very strong Brosnan installments. And I can see, as I say, I can see why it gets the negative press, but watching it again, I think it was a good idea, but I just think the execution could have been better.
Yeah.
They relied heavily too much on CGI in certain places. And like I said to you, Bob, as soon as it finished, the problem is that surfing scene is completely superfluous. They did not need to include it. They literally could have escaped, gone down the dome, and jumped into the Aston.
Yeah.
And then there's the car chase. I think that would have worked much better. And I'm sure someone's edited a scene on YouTube and it's out there somewhere. But I do think the CGI, when it's overused, lets it down the film massively.
Yeah.
And like we were saying...
Because it's so obvious.
Well, it is. And it's not aged well, some of the CGI. And like I said to you, yeah. I mean, Barbara Broccoli, she's very pedantic and very, you know, she's very driven to make a good film. Why the hell she let things take a turn in which they did, I don't know. But we can forgive them. I mean, the film is not bad. I personally think it's the weakest instalment of every single one.
Yes, definitely.
But it's still watchable.
Yeah.
What's his name? Toby Stevens. Mm. Let's have a little chat about him. I think he is like a pantomime villain.
He is. It's his grimace. His... Even from his first proper scene coming down, what a beautiful day for being a knight.
Yes, a beautiful day to become a knight. I mean, like I said to you before when we were driving here, as soon as he opens his mouth, you want to smack him.
Yes,
because,
definitely.
And I'm not a violent man, but you just want to slap him with a wet fish because
he is
irritating. And I suppose that's good.
That because, is part because of that, it,
that's
yeah.
how he
yeah.
plays the character. Yeah. That's good, but I do think he is slightly wooden in places.
Yes, he is.
Which is a shame. Because he is actually a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I suppose you're only as good as the script with which you have to work.
I think they did throw a lot into it that they didn't really need to.
Do you know
to.
What?
Like
they did.
Even down to his that he doesn't sleep. But you didn't need that in the film at all.
It's the problem is it, very much a case this film, too many cooks spoiled the broth.
Yeah.
They try and put too many ideas in, especially seeing as it was the 40th anniversary as well.
Yeah.
They went overboard.
Yeah.
And I don't think it quite worked, whereas Skyfall, less is more,
yes.
got it right from
absolutely.
The 50s. The thing I was thinking when watching this film is, do you know what? I think if they'd have killed off Colonel Moon at the beginning, he was the main villain, kill him off, and then have Zhao become the main villain.
Yes.
I actually think he's better as a villain.
Yeah, yeah.
And he could have done all of that.
Yes,
and they wouldn't have needed to
done.
Have brought in all the ridiculous idea about gene therapy.
Yeah.
I know Bond's far-fetched in places anyway, but this just goes beyond the realm of fantasy, I think.
And I think it proved as well with how good Desmond Llewellyn was as Q, because John Cleese is virtually playing it as Basil Fawlty.
Well, he is.
He really is.
But I enjoyed his performance
more
watching
the biggest laugh, obviously, at the end when Money Play is playing about. Money Penny's playing about with it.
Yeah.
That is really... I really laughed out loud at that.
Oh, there was one lady who was killing herself
on
the next
film. She nearly fell off a seat, actually.
But it's funny. This is almost the equivalent of Caroline Bliss's role within The License.
Yeah.
Samantha Bond does not have a big role.
No.
And apart from that end scene, which turns out to be fantasy within the context, it's not actually... She has no engagement, really, with Bond.
No.
But, no, Cleese I liked more than... I expected to from when I last saw this film. And you know what? The Vanish, I actually quite like the idea.
It holds,
if they had just made that the only sort of CGI, heavily CGI element, I think the film would have held out. But it goes back to what I was saying. Great idea, but I just think slightly poor execution. Although it's not terrible.
Yeah, both the girls were good as well.
But yeah, let's focus on some of the positives.
Halle Berry and Miranda.
Believe it or not, folks.
Rosamund Pike.
Well, I mean... For me, there are positives in this film. Mm. So let's focus on those. I mean, Rosamund Pike, I think, is fabulous.
Yeah, she is. They could have made a role a little bit bigger, actually.
I agree.
She, in fact, she could have been the main villain.
I was thinking, oh, yeah.
She could have really been, and it would have been a real shock. They did change it towards the end anyway, that she was a double agent.
Mm.
That, she needn't have been his... underling, really. She could have been the main villain.
To be fair, they could have gone down the line of, well, it's not enough. They could have made him out to be, Zhao, to be the main villain if they'd have gone with him, and then turns out she's the main villain.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they're working together in partnership. But, no, she's fabulous. I even like, Halle Berry's actually really good.
Yeah, she is.
But I'm glad she didn't get her spin-off.
Yeah,
I'll be honest, I think that would have been a step too far.
Yes, it would. It'd have been another remake of that, really, wouldn't it? You'd have thought.
But there's no character development with her, I don't think.
No.
Score, fabulous. I really like this score by David Arnold, but I do agree, Bob,
few too many drums.
There's a bit too much percussion in it, yeah. Exactly. He goes a tiny bit over the top, but as we know, he comes smack back down to earth with the next one without being being able to have the fall back on the Bond theme, and he does an absolutely admirable job.
Absolutely. I think some of my favourite cues from this are probably the ice chase.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that musical score is
with the trumpet.
Yeah, for me, that gave me chicken skin. Love that. And even the opening theme, you know, even the gunbarrel music, although there is a lot of percussion, I still think it's fabulous.
Yeah,
and
even
the bullet is acceptable, let's be honest.
Well, it was just an enhancement for the 20th, wasn't it?
But then you've got the hovercraft chase scene. I mean, the score to that is also really good.
It is.
There are good elements to this film. And I quite like M, because this is the first time we see M with Brosnan's Bond, where she's more like Craig's M.
Yes.
Quite cold, not very open. And almost an enemy of Bond.
Yeah.
Rather than an ally.
Yeah. She's quite prepared to, like, throw him away, isn't
exactly.
she? To lock him away.
Anything new you noticed from this particular screening?
No. No, nothing new at all. As I say, they're all getting fairly modern. There's nothing that you can pick up on picture wise. There's nothing sound wise, really, that I hadn't heard, that I didn't notice before.
Yeah, same. Just the quality in the picture was very good.
Yes, it was.
Especially the scenes with Zhao when you're up close to him and he's leaning over Jinx with the lasers. The quality there was superb. And yeah, that was a big step in the right direction, I think. So. Very good print quality.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, all in all, it was enjoyable.
It's made even more enjoyable that we didn't have to sit through Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris again.
Well, there's always a silver lining.
first time we've been to one of these and it hasn't showed it.
And this is potentially our last screening altogether.
Yes, altogether. Yes, at the moment I'm seeing the rest on my own.
And pretty much the same for myself and different dates, which coincide with work. No, honestly, good film. I
enjoyed it.
It is the weakest.
Yeah,
I will be honest, but it's still not terrible.
Yeah.
At
the end of the day, it is a bomb film.
There are good points to be taken. And if it hadn't have been for the flaws in this film, we might not have got as good as Casino Royale. Because they learnt from their mistakes, I feel, and they managed to push forward.
Exactly, yes.
And remedy the wrong. So if it hadn't have been what it was, we might not have got as strong as
it. Again, it just shows you the difference that Purvis and Wade can, how they can write differently with what they did with this and then with Casino.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We'll talk about that next time.
So we've reached the end of Brosnan's era.
Yes.
Brosnan is no more. And now we beckon Craig.
Yes.
Daniel Craig. So should be very good. I mean, I'm guessing we'll be doing separate reviews
for
the next one. But looking forward to that.
Yeah,
that's for us to divulge next time. But I don't think we're going to fill half an hour tonight.
Not tonight, no.
I don't think there's enough of Die Another Day. So,
Or enough of us.
Well, exactly. But we'll live to do that on another day, shall we say. But no, go and see it, folks. Go and enjoy.
Yeah.
See the last of Brosnan's installments.
And we'll look forward to listening to everybody else's reviews.
Absolutely.
See if they align with ours.
Well, exactly. Hopefully we can't be too wrong. But no, thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
You don't seem too pleased to see me.
If I'd had my way, you'd still be in North Korea.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Your freedom came at too high a price.
Zhao.
He tried to blow up a summit between South Korea and China. Took out 3 Chinese agents before he was caught. And now he's free.
I never asked to be traded. I'd rather die in prison than let him loose.
You had your cyanide.
Threw it away years ago. What the hell is this all about?
The top American agent in the North Korean high command was executed a week ago. The Americans intercepted a signal from your prison naming him.
And they think it's me.
You were the only inmate. They concluded you cracked under torture and were hemorrhaging information. We had to get you out.
And what do you think?
With the drugs they were giving you, you wouldn't know what you did or didn't say.
I know the rules. And number one is no deals. Get caught and you're given up. The mission was compromised. Moon got a call exposing me. He had a partner in the West. Even his father knew about it.
Whether that's true or not, it's irrelevant.
No, it isn't. The same person who set me up then has just set me up again to get Zhao out, so I'm going after him.
The only place you're going is our evaluation center in the Falklands. 00 status rescinded.
Along with my freedom?
For as long as I deem necessary, yes. You're no use to anyone now.
The end of the Pierce Brosnan era on the big screen, going down together.
Mm-hmm. I'll be dead. I'll be dead.
What did you notice? Anything on the big screen? Any differences? Anything new from that?
I don't know. The older I get, the sex scene with Bond and Jinx just gets me more uncomfortable as I get older. And I feel like it should be the opposite. And it just, I don't know. That's like the first thing that I can think of. I'm just like, wow. Yeah. It's like other people. I'm watching this with other people. Yeah, and it's this. Like,
is it more awkward than the Xenia on a top? The yes. Golden Eye.
Yeah, I felt way more awkward.
Perhaps. But it is original math, though.
Well, yeah, I think I might have mentioned this before. Not
the ruin.
Not how it's filmed or whatever. But it's quite unusual for
nauseating detail.
But for normally the first woman that Bond beds isn't the one that he ends up with.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the way that like the music plays whilst you know it's sort of like mysterious and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll be canned off or something, or she'll be the one who, you know, and obviously he'll end up with Miranda Frost, who's the more you know traditional Bond girl. But no. So.
Well, again, great, you know, misdirection, deliberate, superb.
I don't know. I'm trying to think back to the time because this is, I kind of like knew the world was enough when it was out a little bit, but I was still so young then. But Dying of Day, I remember more when it came out, and like one of my uncles had a legal copy of the film to watch at
home. Oh, nice.
Very much a legal copy, and like I remember watching it, bits of it. I don't think I ever watched the whole thing at the time, but even then, I was like, I think because I was more watching more anyway, it was like, this is a bit weird, different, and
it's really weird.
Like, really weird. And I'm like, okay, and I still feel the same today, like 20 years later.
Do you mean the film as a whole or the sex scene? Or
no, oh, the film as a whole. We can't focus on the sex scene. Yeah, we can't. The film as a whole, it is just, there's a lot going on here.
There's so much.
I know, but I really do think it. I think it, on the whole, it's entertaining. I know there's various things, but it rattles along at such a pace as well. It hardly lets up.
And I will say, I went from like head in hands at the windsurfing tsunami scene to elation at the Aston Martin Jaguar chase.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
George is a massive fan of that.
Everything about that works. You know, the music, the
car. And how it goes into the Ice Palace and the confrontation with Zhao. I love all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. It's silly. They don't need to have that record thing at all because, you know, he escapes from the Ice Palace only to get back to then
escape in the car again.
And you know it's too much, that
feels like just one of those concepts that's like, we'll put it somewhere. It could fit into this, let's put it in here. It's a shame, but
the plot's very odd, isn't it? I mean, I quite like the double crossing and all that. And I love the fact that North Korea are the baddies, and you know, you've got all that going on.
But it's like they're not, though, because the
well, yeah, the, yeah, the, they're being played as well.
The dad, he's all like, oh no, we can't do this, we can't do this. Yeah, it's Gustav / the Colonel Moon, who's like the one who's
a bit like Orlov to
Yeah. Don't know why they were defending North Korea though. but still.
In this fictional world.
But
I think the whole, what I get confused, I don't know if either of you know, but do you know like when Bond says from the get-go, someone betrayed me, I'm like,
when
is he betrayed it? Because in the like the pre-title, because I mean, surely Zhao, like, all I know is that Zhao takes a picture, runs a scan, and it's James Bond. And so to me, I never I'm like, oh, well, they're doing that just to chat, but.
I think it's not, you know, really, you know, Bond is a spy, so it shouldn't be as easy as someone taking a picture and, you know, it runs something.
Max Zorin.
So, yeah. But that does happen, yeah. But I think what it's supposed to be is that he sends a picture and Miranda Frost, their insider, betrays him.
Oh, right.
I think, I don't know, I just find it confusing.
So good.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
That's just one... One in it, but I mean, the rest of it makes sense. Everything else afterwards makes sense.
But like the hovercrafts and stuff were well.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Screen.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah,
and that's all real, isn't it?
Yeah,
really?
There's only a couple bits with the back projection, whether it looks a bit green screeny or something. But
Brosnan looks like he's right in the thick of it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of times with that. If we're going to talk about the, you know, that stuff, there's a lot of times where the lines around people look so soft and it looks Vaseline-y. I'm just like, this. You know, compared to, I mean, I know when. The hardcore defenders of Dying of Day will say, well, what about the back projection, like Dr. No and like the other films, and like like real footage.
Yeah, they filmed it.
It's all real and real, whereas like some it's just it's just way more noticeable because it looks more fake. You know, I say it's a weird thing to think about. But it's like that a lot. Like the waves in the windsurfing scene, for example, that looks great. But you see this little
at the start,
it's Brosnan composite. No.
Oh right, okay.
No, later on. No, that's in the good. Pre-title, it's fine. But I mean, just see this like Pierce Brosnan doing this. Yeah. And it just looks so out of place. I'm like, more time, more color correction. I mean, they do a lot of color correction and weird.
The colors are very odd. It's such a bright film, isn't it, compared to the others?
But it doesn't feel vibrant either.
No. But the outfits are too. Like Jinx's outfits are so ridiculous. You know, she's meant to be not well spy, isn't she? Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, she draws plenty of attention.
I
think, Jinx, I struggle with a lot.
It's a weird performance.
But I think, I don't know, a lot of the rest of it just needs to be dialed down a bit.
Yeah.
Each performance or each character.
I'll say about Halle Berry, actually. I think, aside from the Yo Mama scene, I think Jinx is great when she's not with Bond.
I just think Los Organos,
and I think maybe most of the dialogue between the two I just don't think is great, but when she's on her own or she's doing whatever else, I think the actual lines are better, and I think her acting's better. I think when she's in the clinic, I think she's great there. Inside the clinic, outside when there's a bit weird.
I'd love to know though, because she's given these lines and she obviously is like, right, I'm just gonna have to go along with it and have fun with it. That's what it is, isn't it?
Also, this is the same year that Austin Powers Goldmember came out.
Yeah, there's a lot of
and I think
Johnny English, Austin Powers.
I think those two things in particular really kind of like skewer the line about what had been coming out. I think the world has not enough got away with it just because you know, Austin Powers was still so fresh by then, but now it's like...
It does feel like it's gone too far, you know, sort of going too far, didn't it? When it came out, like we don't want a superhero.
Yeah.
Like, the ending is very action, teaming up at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, it's good in a way.
Yeah.
But I don't like those outfits either, sorry. I'm upset.
The camouflage.
This is pretty depressing. And that, the plane,
the plane.
I like the sets. Some of the sets are brilliant. I like that final command centre. And I like how you've got the two fights going on at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is quite action film. Mm. But, you know, it's like... Sorry, Miranda, what are you wearing that at the end?
Yeah,
I mean, it's so iconic.
She was getting changed, and then they went through the Icarus beam, and then suddenly she just, you know, part of her clothes went. I'm going to have to go see what this is now.
What do you guys think of Gustav Graves?
I love him. I honestly love him.
Colonel Moon.
Yeah.
So, and that whole storyline.
It's a weird story. The storyline is original, but that doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah,
you know, so just because it hasn't been done
Moonraker.
Before. Well, yeah.
But sorry.
We go again.
Yeah.
I think I quite like, with a lot of the baddies, how he just appears halfway through ish, doesn't he? Miranda appears quite late in it.
Yeah, both of them after Cuba.
Yeah. I think they're a great trio of baddies without. I really do. I think they're all sort of. She gets so cocky, Miranda, like when she is.
I mean, she's the best character in the film.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll say that. Anyway.
And another double-crossing female villain. We're like, oh, it must have been a bit.
Yeah, I think it was a bit, even though it's, you know.
It's not as big as Electra, obviously, but, you know.
No.
She's kind of the henchwoman.
But I don't know.
I just seen it because I think if you go out to the basement, it's like, oh, there's one good female and one bad boy. And just in terms of like the marketing, again, which I remember at the time, but I think that was what, 7 years old. Like, it just seemed, oh, she's the bad guy.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so.
I remember, like, one of the promo images was her in that outfit, but with the sword.
Yeah.
Compared to Jinx, who's literally side by side with Bond.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
why would you, yeah.
Why,
yeah.
You know, this. If she's going to die or she's going to be, oh, Jinx is going to be the bad one, then, I mean, she wouldn't, why would she be that? You know what I mean? So it's a bit. But, I mean, she still does. I mean, Miranda's great. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Rosamund Pike.
She's so young, isn't she?
Yeah.
I know it's first film, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, in her first scene, she seems so much older than she is.
Oh, she's extremely mature and her voice is very mature.
And then you just cut to it when she's fencing. You just go, wait, is that the same person?
Like, yeah. Oh, the fencing?
Yeah.
Yeah? You like that?
No, but it's just that, you know, you go from her being like this. We can't keep Her Majesty waiting any longer. And then suddenly she's just like, you know, she's so young and pretty, and that, well, basically everything that Madonna is just loving about her. You know.
I like all the Blade stuff, and
Although
I also want to bloody continue and all this.
I will say I watched the Avengers 1998 film for the first
time a
week or so ago, and I saw Blade, that lobby set was used in there, and I was like, oh my god, I'm expecting Toby Stevens and Rosamund Pike and Pierce Brosnan to suddenly just walk out.
I do like Toby Stevens. I've always liked him as an actor. And I think it's underrated that he's Maggie Smith's son.
Yeah.
That's good for him, though, because he's not remembered as...
Again,
as...
and, you know, a lot of it might be the direction of everything. I just think if he just dials it back a little bit...
Yeah, you know...
I'm more comfortable with the performance, even though I still don't really love it now, because I get more that Colonel Moon is playing Gustav Graves as this type of thing, and he's really like, he hates the kind of person that he's being, but he's like, oh, I'm gonna get away with it and whatever. But despite that, and knowing that, it doesn't mean that still I love it, because I think a lot of it is like, oh, maybe like just don't do that. Maybe
dial it back a little bit.
You know, the idea is fine. I mean, I probably would have rather seen a film with Colonel Moon and
maybe.
And keep Zhao hot. Don't do this weird.
Yeah. What? So why is he bald and, you know?
He's mid transition.
Why is his skin sort of pale and stuff?
Because he's becoming Caucasian, and this weird DNA thing. It's
bone marrow. So weird. The blue eye. Yeah.
Well, it's just so that he looks iconic.
Oh, he looks. Yeah, he's very iconic.
I mean, he's got the blue diamonds in his face.
But if he looks how crispy he is at the start with the diamonds, I mean, that's
perfect. Diamonds, that, diamonds in the face.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, you look great.
Yeah, the American accent. Is he American? I think he might be.
I don't know. But, I always find his movements quite. He's got a very straight back.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
He often doesn't move his neck. He moves his fight.
So iconic. Yeah. There's quite a few good shots though. Loads of close-ups. You know, the pictures you were taking.
Yeah,
the two characters next to each other, and
there are some good shots, stills.
Yeah.
and I will say most of the actual action is shot wonderfully.
Yeah, some of the editing a little bit. You know, the choppy
choices that shutter speed.
Yeah.
When it's unnecessary, I think there was some odd bits of like slow motion into My Never Dies, but I feel like very few far between, and they always highlighted something. Whereas that was done here with slow motion and shutter speed, but then there was also just random things where it's not needed. I know my thing is Zhao's cape coat thing. Like, there's no need.
A horror film in the middle of the. I know what you did last summer. So.
I get it more, you know, for like the torture and, you know, the Bond stopping his heart. I can.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I get that, but even then I'm like.
Yeah. Again, something, you know, I think the criticism out rightly here is that the torture thing, which is a really good idea and it's really original.
Yeah.
And the way it's incorporated into the.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just never referred to ever again. And, you know, those sort of almost, it's like a nightmarish sequence whilst his heart's stopping.
Yeah, he has like a flash.
Some of that could have come back a bit later, or they could have done something
with
that.
But like, do you know, like, you know, Dalton in License to Kill. I'm like, you know, he's not having like PTSD from what's happened, but I mean, like, he carries that with him. You see that in one
Two. Yeah.
You know, the anger one's like, oh, I need to find the person who betrayed me, but it feels like there's no weight behind it, and there's nothing that's
right,
linking to this 14 months of.
As soon as he shaves, he's really nice and cocky and just about to be normal Bond, isn't he?
Before, so. He's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm checking out. Oh, yeah. Then, thanks for the kiss of life. Yeah.
That's. But in normal circumstances,
I do like a lot of it.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching it. Apart, you know, I just keep saying the same thing, but I find it, just pretty easy to watch.
It is,
I'm over the issues and. Yeah, I think you've got Pierce on good form.
Yeah, Pierce is great.
You know, you've got a villain who you can sort of root against. You've got memorable henchmen. You've got some interesting female characters. Some pretty good action set pieces.
Yeah.
So, I
hey, boss. I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah,
well, I really don't like it.
It's not Vlad. Vlad, do you know? He's very 80s, though, isn't he?
He's just a bit like... We need to add one more character to really spice it up, and it's like, okay. But I mean, he's less offensive than, oh my God, what's the... Sorry, God. I think he's less offensive than Elvis.
Oh, right, well...
But, I mean, I would put him in that tier, in that category.
Well, he's just a weedling who's around, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean...
His death's amazing. That's so... How quick it is.
Oh, yeah. At least he has a couple of funny lines, but even then, I'm just like...
Yeah.
You're so late.
They dwell on it, though, too long. They should have just done the line and then cut, but it's like, you see him sort of walk back like... what are you... don't overdo the joke.
Yeah.
I do think Brosnan and Halle Berry, even though the dialogue's dreadful, they do have chemistry. Somehow, I can picture them getting on in real life. And
Yeah.
They seem to bounce off each other.
I think it's just they were too obsessed with making this, you know, another of Bond's equals.
Yeah.
He does the smart quips. Well, she's got to do them. And, you know, they don't actually have a conversation. They have very few conversations, which are real.
Think about Natalia and James.
Jinx and James. You
know, but I mean, even then, James has like way more puns than usual anyway.
Yeah.
Add another person hitting him right back. Yeah. It's like, whoa. Yeah.
Miranda Frost does the same jokes. Gustav does the same jokes. Everyone's doing
it. I was there for a punchline as well.
Yeah.
Everyone doing.
There's a lot of groaners in this. I mean, there's some laugh out loud. This is actually funny.
There are some good lines.
Yeah, there are.
And in and amongst, if you throw enough shit, some of it sticks.
Yeah, there were people in our...
Yes, there were, well, there were people, for a start. Yeah, there were. We were worried. Famously, at the Prince Charles, wasn't there one or two people?
Yeah, that was a... More people did arrive.
Yeah, right.
But anyway,
But there must have been about 15, maybe, and...
I mean, there was more than most of the Connery ones, I would say.
Well, that's a disgrace. We don't want that, no. But yeah, we haven't talked about Dying of the Day before, really, on our podcast.
No,
so this is
very rare.
Original material for once. Yeah.
And I'll say different. I think, well, I'm fine with Invisible Car as number one.
Yeah.
And number two, you know, a lot of people say, oh, the first half's great, but the second half's not. And I'm like, I don't believe that at all. I think there's issues and good things throughout, and it's not so clear what is that.
Yeah.
Because I think some of the Iceland stuff is some of the better parts.
That set is absolutely incredible. It really is one of the best recent ones.
Yeah.
Must be. It's Peter Lamont, isn't he? He's back. Great.
Yeah, and then he does Casino as well, and I think that's his last one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to do a special on him eventually.
Yeah, I think so. He did do a lot of...
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed Nona Majesty's like... Da, in there, like...
Yeah.
I think during the Cuba clinic, like...
Wow!
Like it's in there.
Well, there's that article, isn't there? That someone found like 100 references to other Bonds.
Yeah.
I picked up on a few more. I know David did that picture today about the Hall of Mirrors. Mm. That's obviously Man with the Golden Gun.
Yeah.
The Funhouse. When he's in Los Organos, the grape and you know taking.
Yeah.
Is that Thunderball or? Well, I know it's a bit of Honor Majesty's, isn't it? When he takes the caviar.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Might be Thunderball.
But he's using a wheels, you know, and spit the health sensor. Yeah, it's that kind of thing. is chewing the guy.
Yeah,
that's
great.
I mean, that guy deserves.
Oh, he's disgusting. Yeah.
Fidel Castrato.
Yeah. Right, that's funny. You've got the same humour as the other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That scene, you know, they feast. Oh. You got a few titters.
Yeah, I did. But are they? Laughing with it or at it.
I think I was horrified by it. I mean, I've seen that scene enough times, but do you know what I mean? It's just like, on the Easter Bright, it's like, you know, I've paid to see us in Bishop, it's like, wow, this is the dialogue for their first meeting. Like,
yeah.
Just.
It never recovers.
Yeah. We know Rob loves that.
Oh, yeah. But again, it's so memorable. Mojito, not less.
Yeah.
The clothes are so iconic.
I don't like sand. I mean, it's very that, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. But that's. This is meant to be the having jokes together.
It's an end of an era, though, isn't it?
This is.
This film.
It is. We will be back, I promise. We will cover the other ones. Some of us will. The one thing that never gets mentioned is, this is sacrilege. You know, him and Moneypenny, you know, and all the sort of virtual reality.
Yeah, Moneypenny. The way virtual reality is dealt with. And, yeah.
She's not really in it, is she?
No.
Other than in virtual reality.
Yeah, shot in the head for one bit.
She has one line. One line to Robinson when he walks through. Then shot in the head and then just testing it out. I mean,
like, it's a funny scene in another film, and John Cleese is funny in that scene. Yeah. But it's like, we can't go.
Again, it's not a great send off for Samantha Bond.
Really. No.
No.
But then it's like, but really, it's not a great send off for Robinson in it. And if it was for M, then it wouldn't have been a particularly fantastic one for Judi Dench, because, you know, obviously she was supposed to get replaced in Casino.
Of course, it was different. But,
yeah.
It's a prequel, isn't it?
We don't want to talk about it. Right?
No,
but
I'm glad she was in them, I'll tell you that, yeah.
Yeah.
And David Arnold, even he's going to 11 to stupid, isn't he, with a lot of it. It's getting more and more epic. And But it fits the film, I think.
It does? Yeah. I don't really have
the issues. Yeah. There's a bit of Gladiator sort of...
Yeah, there is.
When
Gerard.
Yeah. When Moon dies.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Moon Senior. Yeah. That's weirdly shot, isn't it? You don't really see him get shot.
But there's also some of what he's scored before in this a little bit too, isn't it? Like
the at the end.
The
end scene. I love how they've just flown to some random huts.
Yeah,
And that's the same music as when he's skiing with Elektra. Yeah, which is gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's found his real love, Jinx. That's it. That's who he ends up with. Yeah.
Still,
the worst line of all, the last line of the film. Don't get it. I can't believe it. Is it you're good?
I'm so good.
I'm so good. Especially when you're bad. What?
Yeah.
And then the laugh, mid-fade.
I mean, it's definitely not a, you know, why don't you ask me?
No. That's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, okay, shame. But, you know, it's... They go out on a laugh and a smile.
They do, yeah.
We've had a whole heck of a lot of fun. And, you know, something I often say is things being silly doesn't necessarily mean they're fun.
No,
but,
no.
You know, I do think a lot of this is silly, but I do think an awful lot of it is fun.
Yeah.
There's a line, like Icarus, it crossed it.
Yeah, very good.
But, you know, I'm happy to have seen it. And I did, despite everything that I've said, I enjoyed it anyway.
It's not boring.
No, but I can close a... chapter.
Closure.
Yeah.
On to the Craig era, which will be very different. And I think there'll be a lot of people in the next one.
Yeah, yeah, I think there will be.
Well, I think Casino Royale is going to have, like, a lot of, at this point, nostalgic value. I mean, 16 years point. I mean, it's my first Bond film in the cinema, so, I mean, I really want to watch it just because it's been, obviously, that long and very different from when I was 11 watching it. You know.
Yeah, and knowing, watching it now, knowing how it ended as well, maybe. That'd be quite weird.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because, last time I saw it, was before No Time to Die.
Because Daniel Craig, the claim that he was always wanting to kill the character, I don't know.
It
doesn't mean they would have done.
Yeah, but he wanted to leave with the inspector, but
yeah, we needed a proper send-off for Daniel. Anyway, it's the Pierce era. Yeah,
just say, you know, after watching World Is Not Enough, now my suggestion is play Nightfire.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about the video games.
Yeah,
right,
then play Everything or Nothing, and that could be it. You don't need to watch Die Another Day if you don't want to. I'm joking.
The Lorenzo Granger trilogy, those two games and Die Another Day.
Nightfire
most
is
fun you've ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It is excellent.
Get out of the PlayStation again. Right, yeah. We will get out of the Trough Centre, but it's a sad end to the Pierce era in many ways, as in how he was, let go. But we get the... Yes. Oh, that's another great bit, isn't it? In the ice.
Yeah.
So many great bits. And yes, we have a very different type of Bond next week with Casino Royale. So join us for that, everybody. Thank you.
Magnificent view.
It is, isn't it? Too bad it's lost on everybody else.
Mojito? You should try it.
Jacinta Johnson. My friends call me Jinx.
My friends call me James Bond. Jinx, you say?
Born on Friday the 13th.
You believe in bad luck?
Let's just say my relationships don't seem to last.
I know the feeling. The predators usually appear at sunset.
And why is that?
It's when their prey comes out to drink. Too strong for you?
I can learn to like it, if I have the time.
How much time have you got?
Until dawn. What about you?
Oh, I'm just here for the birds. Ornithologist.
Ornithologist, huh? Wow. Now there's a mouthful. So you're going to be busy tonight with the owls, then, huh?
No owls in Los Organos. Nothing to see till the morning. Not out there, anyway.
So what do predators do when the sun goes down?
They feast like there's no tomorrow.
Hi, everybody. This is Jim Jams Bond. A little late to the party. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see this on the big screen because Denmark isn't screening the Bond films. So instead, I just popped the Blu-ray on last night. But, you know, thought I'd finally do this, get my thoughts down on digital form and send them over to you. You know, Die Another Day is... it's a strange little film. It really is. You could write a dissertation on this film. I swear, you could write... I don't know if you could write a book, but... It's an odd little film. I mean, on the surface, it's not bad. I mean, it's enjoyable. It has rewatchability. Actually is sort of, you know, if there was a box of Bond bits, you know, that you could pick through and pull out and then arrange in order, then yeah, that's what this film is. It's Bond cereal poured into a bowl. So all the bits are there. There's some really nice Bond moments. There's some cool locations. And there's the breadcrumbs, right? There's Bond solving a mystery. You've got all the ingredients. I'll say some more nice things about the film in a bit. I want to get out of the way my general problem with the film, right? And I think it's pretty valid, and it's that film is just slapped together Bond moments, right? It doesn't, I mean, if you can compare it to The World Is Not Enough, you see that there's not the smooth, like, segues. There's not like a rich world that was built in that particular film. There's not these characters, these cool characters that seem very multi-dimensional. The conflict is just, you know, tactile. It's really that film. I mean, I don't want to make this a review. The World Is Not Enough. Let's save that for another time. But that, I think, is really lacking in Die Another Day. I think the problems with Die Another Day are not the parasailing and the invisible car. Halle Berry, yeah, actually. It's a film with one of the weakest cast, really. I think the Bond girls are not great. Halle Berry obviously phones it in. I really don't know her too well. I don't know if she's a bad actress in general. I think I saw her in, what was it, like Monster's Ball. She was great. She's great in that. Maybe she was just a flash in the pan. I don't know. But here she's just wooden and cheesy. Just cheeseball. Rosamund Pike, who I adore, and she's become a wonderful actress, is just too young here. She's like a China doll. And it kind of shows she's just a little naive. I don't believe that she's an MI6 agent that would betray Bond. I'm not really buying it. So I have a problem with the Bond girls. Zhao, henchman-wise, is okay. You know, he's got all the ingredients of a henchman, right? I mean, he's brooding. He's got some weird disfiguration, however ridiculous. He's a physical threat to Bond. Not much of a mental threat to Bond. I guess you leave that to Gustav Graves. But otherwise, I think Zhao is fairly forgettable, you know, in the pantheon of henchmen, Bond henchmen. Gustav Graves, as a villain, I want to like him. The smugness. After a while, the scenery chewing becomes a bit much. His grin, his shit-eating grin, is, I don't know. What else? What else doesn't work? I mean, I don't know. I don't think the parasailing, like I said, the parasailing is just a little off the mark, right? Lots of films have goofy stuff that is in the Bond films. Oh, you know, there's goofy things in all the Bond films, and you can forgive them. Oh, another problem is the direction. I think the execution is off. So again, the pieces are there, Bond pieces. You've got Bond things happening. The Hong Kong sequence is fun. Cuba is, it's great. I really like it. It's very Bondy. Iceland, London, fantastic. But they're just the execution. Lee Tamahori, his directing is just not right for a Bond film. There's too much MTV style slow-mo and camera whooshes, just whipping around, cameras whipping around, and I just don't think he pulls it off like Apted did. Apted created this lush, rich world that you felt, you know, it was cozy, it was like a warm blanket. You know, this one's not. This one's very by the numbers. So that's really, I'm going to sort of rehash it a little bit. I'm going to go through it in my head, and then I'll probably get to some more negative things. But in the meantime, let me talk about some of the good things. I mean, the sword fight, come on, right? I mean, give me a break. Give me a Kit Kat. That thing is amazing. It's one of the, for me, it, as far as action sequences and stunts, it's one of the better action sequences in the series. It's easily maybe in the top five. I don't know. I just love it. It's so much fun how the fight moves through three different locations. They change weapons. I think it's a lot of fun. I love that sequence. The London stuff in general is really cool. The subway, I don't know, Q's lab in the subway seems odd. People just seem to kind of pop up randomly. Like M is just suddenly in a place. I really don't feel like why isn't she at MI6? Why is she just like pops up? She just appears. Okay, so I'm getting ahead of myself. So going back to the beginning is fine. Pre-title sequence, actually, you know, Tamahori, I have to give him credit. That was really well shot, the pre-title sequence, because there's a lot going on. There's tons of vehicles, and you've got Moon shooting every possible weapon at Bond, and explosions galore, and, you know, it's a Brosnan film, so there's constant automatic gunfire, you know, being sprayed in every direction and hitting every molecule except Bond. But Tamahori does a good job there. I feel like he pulls it off. The camera work is great. Arnold's score is really good there. So, you know, a solid B-, I think, for the pre-title sequence of this film. I like it. I like the idea of Bond being betrayed and being in captivity for 2 years or however long he's there, and then wanting to get revenge. Although the rest of the film, we don't really, that's not really a thing, is it? That doesn't come up again. I mean, yes, he mentions somebody betrayed him, but you don't really feel like sort of that revenge that you get, like say in Quantum of Solace. So Bond is in the hospital, which is, you know, it is what it is, fine. And M pops up. Oh, I don't know what she's doing there, but I like the scene. Like, I like M here. I like how she just gives him this, I like this side of M, of Judi Dench's M, where she doesn't care if he lives or dies. Like, he is expendable in her eyes. Now, I think maybe later on she forgives him a bit too quickly. But I like the dressing down that he gets here. So that scene is really cool. And then, you know, the escape sequence. So I'm liking it. I'm liking the film so far. Like I said, that Hong Kong sequence where, you know, he breaks the mirror and there's Chinese intelligence behind the mirror with the cameras going. I think it's adorable. Really like that. Very Bond. Especially, that's the kind of Bond scene you want early in a film. It's very light. I mean, I can totally see Connery in a scene like that, definitely. So, Cuba, is, I mean, gorgeous. The sets are gorgeous. It looks great. Cinematography is wonderful. Raoul, I like Raoul. I think he's kind of cool. I mean, I wanted to like him more. I think he could be better. He reminds me a bit of Ali in from Russia with Love. He's like that same kind of ally. You know, he seems like he would, you can sort of tell that, you know, he's a little beleaguered and haggard, and he's got history to him the same way that Ali did. Now, Ali's a better character, and he's a better ally, right? And he's with Bond for longer. But I see a similarity, enough of a similarity that I notice it, that, I, you know, it's a little wink, I think. Could be wrong. Could be just me. But I like him. But, so another thing, so like I said, you know, with the characters, I think the movie, not only do I not like the character, I think it's missing some characters. Like, I just feel like there's a few interstitial characters, you know? Like allies, I'm not feeling the allies' presence in this movie. Where are we? Well, London, obviously, great. Sword fight, awesome. The subway scene, you know, we meet Q. I don't know how I feel about John Cleese. I love John Cleese. I think he's a little on the nose for Q. I think he's almost like a parody of the character. Like, I mean, Desmond Llewellyn just brought this, he was hilarious and snarky. But there was this sincerity to him, right? You really believed. I mean, he didn't seem like a comedian doing a bit, right? Whereas Cleese kind of does. So there's the subway thing. We get the car, invisible car. Now, I personally feel, I think there's too many gadgets. This is another problem I have. Too many gadgets. Like, I remember later in Iceland, he's using his watch to melt. Like, he cuts a little circle in the ice. And when that happens, I forgot that he got that gadget. And I know the watch is, he has a watch. It's standard issue. But I love the ring. I think it's fantastic. The way he escapes Graves' office. I'm going to call it an office for lack of a better word. But with the ring, great. I love that. It's a really fantastic escape. Very Bond. We haven't really seen, what do they call the ring? A something-something agitator? I can't remember. But it's very unique. I really like that gadget. Like I said, the watch is the watch. It does stuff. And then maybe the car has a few too many. What has it got, like shotguns and missiles, and it's invisible with no shadow, strangely. But, you know, it is what it is. And then we move on to Iceland. Now, the Iceland palace is a little goofy. I don't mind it, though. Like, at this point, this is where the movie sort of kind of goes off the rails a bit. I can still enjoy it. Like, I can still watch this movie and not turn it off when we get to Iceland. It's not something I just immediately do is reach for the off. But the off switch, you know. So I watch it, and it's goofy. The laser is goofy. Mr. Kill is, as far as silent henchman goes, like, meh, you know. Yeah, that's some cool stuff. I like the chase scene. The car chase scene is okay. Ejector seat, fantastic. I love the use of the ejector seat where he flips the car. Really cool. Love that, love that. The chase through the palace is actually a really interesting sequence. It's well photographed. It uses some really cool little tricks. I like it. I don't mind the way Zhao dies. It's good to get him out of the way so we can move on with the plot. And, you know, the ending is, it is what it is, right? It's very silly. You've got the big laser, but it's, you know, it's Bond. You know, Bond, you're going to have the big laser. The fight between the girls is okay. It's pretty cool, but then again, like I said, I don't really care for the Bond girls in this film. I just don't think they're the weakest Bond girls, with a few exceptions, maybe, but don't do much for me. Now, the quips in this movie are a mile a minute. It's like a vending machine of quips, this one. And some of them are good. Some of them miss the mark, so be it. Don't really mind. But like I said, I think, yeah, it's a toy chest of Bond bits that have been hastily assembled, and there's no sinew there's no connective tissue between them, and the worlds created are very thin. It's like a first draft in a way. So I think a lot of the problems, I don't know what problems people have. Most people seem to dislike this film, and they cite certain things, like they'll cite the tsunami. It doesn't bother me that much. It's a bit goofy. I think it's just the CG that lets it down, because I could totally see Roger Moore doing the exact same thing, right? So that stuff doesn't bother me. What bothers me is it's just a very thin movie. I think that's the best way I can describe it. And like I said, the discovering that who betrayed him is thin, and it's not really that big of a payoff. I think that would have been a much better story, is like him out for revenge. But we get the diamonds thing, and that's great. You know, who doesn't love a good James Bond diamond story? I think that's it. I mean, Arnold's score is great. Some of the drums get a little bit much, but the electronic drums, but all of his like interstitial music is great. Like, the score is beautiful. But, you know, and actually, you know, there's a couple of things and I don't know. This is how I felt when I was watching it yesterday. There's a couple of things that are, in a way, sort of predict some future Bond thing. Like, you know, like that when he has the memory, the flashbacks in black and white of him being tortured, right? That's not something we've seen in Bond before. That's something that would be seen in, like, a Daniel Craig Bond film, right? So in a way, it's sort of hinting at future style of Bond, a future type of filming Bond, a future type of writing Bond. So that's sort of cool, I think. I'll just throw that in there. That's my take. Thanks, Really 007 Podcast, for hopefully, I don't know, airing this. We'll see. Love you guys. Okay, bye.
Gustav?
Verity. And Mr. Bond. James Bond.
Have we met before?
Oh, I think I'd remember.
Of course you would. My mistake. Are you a gambling man, Mr. Bond?
If the stakes are right.
1,000 a point, too much for you? Hmm. Care to place a bet, Verity?
No, thanks. I don't like cockfights.
Shall we?
Excuse me.
Best of three hits.
Positions. Ready. Play.
Honk out.
Hit. Positions. Play.
Ella!
Hit.
2-0. Do you want to continue?
You want to up the wager?
How much can you afford?
Let's play for this. I picked it up in Cuba. I believe it's one of yours.
My. They do get around. But then diamonds are for everyone. Brilliant specimen. Completely flawless.
And chemically identical to African conflict diamonds.
Then you're about to lose something very precious.
Position. Ready. Play.
Hug out.
Oh, dear. You want to continue?
Of course I want to bloody continue!
And we want to bloody continue onto part two of Die Another Day on the big screen.
Really, the worst.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.